The Defense Contract Audit Agency has a backlog of about 5 years' worth of incurred cost submissions from contractors it needs to audit. The Government Accountability Office, the DoD Inspector General, and Congress have all been critical of DCAA's inability to get past that backlog. Now the agency is taking aggressive and somewhat unusual measures to address the problem. A policy memo went out recently with requirements for the agency's auditors. Attached was a list exposing around 1,000 delinquent contractors. Rich Wilkinson is Vice President for Client Services at Neo Systems. He joins me now with how contractors ought to handle this situation. Rich, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So DCAA is way behind, and it sounds like it's taking a steam shovel approach to this backlog. What are they exactly doing?
Well, they've done a number of things in the last couple of years. They've taken a risk-based approach where really small incurred cost submissions from small contractors, they don't even audit anymore. They just take a look at it. If it looks good, they literally write the ACO, the Administrative Contracting Officer, a letter and say, this looks fine, go ahead and settle it. But that's what we call low-hanging fruit, and they've taken about all of that that there is in their backlog, and they still have close to 20,000 incurred cost submissions that need to be audited. They only do about 2,500 a year, and they get about 2,500 to 3,000 new ones every year. That means that's pretty much a permanent backlog. They're getting desperate.
All right, so what they're saying then now is that if they can't get to one, they're simply going to pull it back and reimburse the contractor at 16% below what that cost submission says.
That's right. Contractors have what they call indirect rates, their overhead, and those rates could run for an typical overhead anywhere from 40 to 60%. So you're talking about knocking 16 points off of that. Most contractors only make 7 or 8%. So you're talking about taking a contractor that might be making 7 or 8% on their cost and literally throwing them into a 8 or 10% loss position. And that's a big deal. It can really hurt the bottom line, hurt the cash flow. It could put a mid-sized contractor out of business.
All right. So in other words, they could have made it 20% or 15%. Why do you suppose they picked 16% as their number?
It's my understanding that that's based on historical decrements. When they typically audit an incurred cost submission, they will question cost, and they take an average over time of how much cost they question. To my knowledge, though, this is the first time that they've taken a blanket approach and simply said to the ACOs over at the Defense Contract Audit Management Agency, just knock 16% off of all of these guys' rates. It's usually done contractor by contractor, and they've certainly never published a list of delinquent contractors before. You can imagine what the reaction to that was from those contractors' customers to their ACOs to their bankers. It certainly puts them in a bad light.
But shouldn't the contractors be sending in their cost submissions on time anyhow?
Of course, but some of these delinquent cost submissions are because DCAA looked at the incurred cost submission and rejected it. And sometimes those rejection reasons are pretty obscure. I've seen some that were rejected because the pages weren't numbered correctly.
Yeah, that sounds like someone trying to get rid of too many resumes. Even rejecting it on that basis, because that's something you can determine very quickly. I'm almost getting a picture of people with a great big reject stamp, just thumping them down and tossing them out.
You know, we'd hate to think that was what was happening, but it sure feels that way sometimes, especially when you get a 4 or 5 year old incurred cost submission that's been laying there waiting for audit, and suddenly it comes back in 2014 or 2015 with a rejection stamp on it after 4 or 5 years sitting in a drawer.
Now, short of upping your cost submissions another 16%, anticipating that much to be taken off, I guess mathematically you'd have to raise it more to get back to where you were, which would not be fair or legal, I suppose. What can contractors do about this?
It's really not legal. You can't do that. An incurred cost submission is technically a claim against the government, and making a false claim carries legal ramifications.
Sure. And I'm not advocating it, but I mean, that's the only, mathematical remedy to this. But what's a real remedy?
What the real remedy should be is companies submitting them promptly. When they get a rejection, jumping on it with both feet and getting that rejection cured so that it's not a rejected incurred cost submission anymore. It's true that these incurred cost submissions are very complex. They can take months to assemble. And frankly, it can take a month to figure out what's wrong when something doesn't tie together. But it's just a necessary part of doing business with the government. It has to be done.
We're speaking with Rich Wilkinson. He's Vice President for Client Services at NEO Systems. So in many ways, the contractors and the DCAA are really caught in the same problem, which is maybe too much administrative burden.
They absolutely are. And certainly contractors want their incurred cost submissions audited and settled as badly as DCAA wants them off their backlog. It just, when you have the kind of backlog DCAA is looking at, sometimes the problem just seems insurmountable.
Now, this also comes kind of ironically at a time when the government is asking contractors to be more diligent about how their own systems, that is the contractors' systems, are audited internally for a variety of different pieces of legislation.
You're absolutely right. This couldn't come at a worse time. In 2011, DOD published something called the Business Systems Rule. It was a huge step forward. It was actually the right thing to do because they established objective criteria for what constitutes an acceptable system or an adequate system. And accounting, of course, is the one that everybody focuses on because everybody has one of those. Not everybody has an earned value system or a government property system, but everybody has an accounting system. Unfortunately, on DCAA's checklist of what constitutes an adequate system, one of the very first things on the list is this contractor current with all their required submissions? You can see where this is going.
Yeah, so you really start out kind of a step behind if you don't get those things in on time. So that's really what contractors then, for whatever reason, should be focusing on is getting whatever submissions they have on time so that they have a ground to stand on when something happens to that submission.
Yeah, and what a big critical step it is, too, because having an adequate system is required in order to be awarded a cost-type contract. We've literally seen, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, contractors who wrote a super proposal, they competed, they won, and then after they won, the contracting officer said, I'm sorry, but you don't have an adequate accounting system, either because it's been reviewed and rejected or perhaps never even reviewed. They're pretty far behind on those, too.
All right,
and
so
we're sorry, we can't award you this contract.
Yeah, okay, so and then this all comes in another context, too, and that is the Fair Labor Standards Act and the President's executive order on salary thresholds. What's going on there? How does that affect contractors?
And that one, we've all watched the news and seen the flurry of activity around executive orders and so forth. This one, though, is a power that's granted to the president in the law itself. The Fair Labor Standards Act makes the president responsible for updating this salary test from time to time. The Fair Labor Standards Act divides everybody into exempt and non-exempt, and the non-exempt people who are not exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act, are entitled to be paid time and a half for their overtime. We think of that as almost take it for granted. It's not ubiquitous in the world, but it is in the United States, and this law has been on the books since 1938. The salary test, though, how much you have to make to be considered exempt and therefore don't get time and a half, hasn't been updated regularly. The last time it was updated was 2004 under President Bush, and they set it at $455 a week. Well, that number is woefully out of date now. At $455 a week, that's what, about $23,000 a year? That's only $8,000 higher than minimum wage. So there's not much room between minimum wage and being exempt from overtime.
So that means contractors can, account for anyone making that much money as essentially management.
That's right. And even at McDonald's, the shift manager is probably a salaried exempt individual, even though he may make only or she maybe $25,000 or $30,000 a year.
And so what is the president ordering for that? Is that he's looking for change there?
He has ordered the Department of Labor to update the salary test. So that was almost a year ago. It was March last year when he wrote the memo to the Department of Labor. And it takes about a year for the Department of Labor to conduct the studies necessary to do that. The New York Times published an article just about the time he wrote the memo that speculated the new number might be somewhere in the neighborhood of $980 or $1,000 a week.
So closer to $50,000 or $51,000 a year.
Yeah.
And so this sounds like something contractors ought to anticipate now rather than wait till it hits and then have to sort of have a wild goose chase to get caught up.
Sure. That shift manager at McDonald's or the shift manager at the guard services company that provides the guards for the Department of Labor's building downtown suddenly used to be salaried, and all of a sudden he's overtime. He gets overtime for over 40 hours. And that's a big deal, especially if you have a fixed-price contract and suddenly your labor cost just went up by a significant amount.
And, of course, that all ties into your cost submissions, which you have to do on time also.
And you absolutely have to comply with that law. If you don't, it calls your accounting system into question. And having your accounting system's adequacy in question affects your ability to compete and win.
All right. Well, now we know what contractors have to do. Lots of homework there. Rich Wilkinson is Vice President for Client Services at Neo Systems. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.